All right. Hey, everyone, and welcome to, I think this is part four of lesson 15 in the Tao Te Ching. Is it four or five? I'll have to look. I've been, you can look for me, Don. Let me know if it's four or five. I've been on lesson 15 for a long time. Part four. Okay. Andy says it's part four. Okay. Yeah. And I don't know if I'll get past it today or not. I hope so. I'm ready to move on. But last time when we were here, I was talking a little bit about purification, and I just feel strongly that conversation's not done yet. So I'm going to continue to talk about purification. And in fact, if anyone has any questions they want to ask, I'll allow that as well. But before, let's look at a song that can be helpful sometimes when you're going through purification. It's You'll Never Walk Alone, and I am playing the Susan Boyle rendition.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song.
I think it's possible that I listened to that song a lot, along with some other songs that were inspiring in the same way when I was going through my primary purification period. And that's because it can be a very difficult period. In fact, I think last time when we ended, I said something like, if you want to get to where I am now, you have to, you know, go through the hell I went through. And after I ended that, I thought, geez, you know, I just ended that by telling them about a guy who thought about strangling me. And you know, you have to go through hell. I'm like, I wonder if I left that in a very nice place. But You know what I said last time, and I'll say it again because it's with all seriousness. This is where most people fail on the spiritual path. And so that's why it's really important that we could just go ahead and come back and look at it again. And based on my own experience, based on what I felt, I would guess that the reason most people fail is because they feel. The reason most people fail is because they would prefer to be safe or comfortable than pure. And by pure, I mean, you know, kind of free of these false beliefs and these energies. They want to feel safe or comfortable. And again, this is really important because, at least from my experience, when the real opportunities show up, they do feel extremely threatening or extremely true. You know, so that's the hard part. You know, like you really don't have any money in the bank and you have no idea how you're going to pay your bills, right? this isn't just your imagination. You know, your mind will be arguing, this isn't just your imagination. at some level, at the level of form, this story is playing out. You know, your reputation is being ruined. Everybody is spreading stories about you that aren't true all over Facebook. You know, when we started awakening together, I don't know if those of you guys remember, but when we started awakening together, there was quite a storm on Facebook, a huge storm. And I don't know if you remember what I did, but it was absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I think I might have held a member meeting to address some concerns, but other than that, I did absolutely nothing. So the hard part about purification is that what's coming up is stuff you've believed in. And as you guys know, what we give our attention to can become manifest in the world, which means you may be facing your false belief as what appears to be an actual situation. And that's where it gets difficult because, again, your mind is saying, this isn't just your imagination, you know. It's not like you're just sitting back. I mean, you can also, you know, purify with stuff that is just your imagination. There's no doubt about it. But a lot of times it's an actual situation in form that's triggering all of the fear or all of the guilt or all of the unworthiness, whatever is coming up. It's an actual situation in form. And so ego's argument is, you know, your spiritual crap now is BS. This is the time to quit playing those stupid spirit, rest, accept, and trust. What the heck is that going to do? Is that going to pay your bills? I mean, this is what the ego sounds like. And I'm using the nice words because, you know, Dom would get upset if I really imitated the ego. But you know that it's not using what the heck. You know, is this going to pay your bills? Are you going to ruin your life because of some spiritual fantasy? I mean, these are the kinds of thoughts I heard in my head, and I'm sure you'll hear something similar. Right? And so you can see why people, you know, I'm using the word fail, and I don't mean it with judgment, but, don't go through, you know, they turn back. You can see why people do that because, again, it appears to be a very real crisis, whatever it is. And the ego is pretending to have your back. You know, the ego is, if you just listen to me, in fact, let me go ahead and just pause and play another song because it came to mind. Let me find it first because it's hard to find songs when you're with that advanced. So let's see. if I can find it. It's sometimes I try to find something, I can't remember the name of it, which makes it even harder to find. I just type something in and hope it shows up. I hope that that YouTube is on my side. Let's see. What's the name of that song? It's in Jesus Christ Superstar. And it's the song where Judas is saying, you know, you should just listen to me. Let me just type in Judas. See what we have here. That's not showing up, so maybe I won't play it. There's another good one here, but it's not the right one. He's upset because, oh, here it is, maybe. I don't know if this is it. I might be playing the wrong song. Let's play this song and just see if this is it, shall we? Let me peek at you guys, see if you guys have come up with anything. I don't know if this is it or not. You guys come up with anything? No? Okay, well, let's try this song.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right, yes, everything's all right.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you for your hot forehead. Then you'll feel everything's alright, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment's sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes and relax, think of nothing tonight.
Hey, hey, woman, you're buying ointment brand new and expensive. Should have been saved for the poor. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People who are hungry, people who are starving, they matter more than your feet and hair.
Right. So let's go to this other song, because I think this song now will finish this. Okay, listen to Judas in this song. Listen to Judas carefully.
Clearer now. At last, all too well, I can see where we all soon will be. If you strip away the myth from the man, you will see where we all soon will be. To believe the things they say of you, you really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the good you've done will soon get swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say. Listen, Jesus, I don't like what I see. All I ask is that you listen to me and remember
I've been your right-hand man all along. You have set them all on fire. They think they found a new Messiah. And they'll hurt you when they find they're wrong. I remember when this whole thing began. No talk of God, then we called you a man. And believe me, my admiration for you hasn't died. But every word you say today gets twisted round some other way. And they'll hurt you if they think you've lied. Nazareth, your famous son, should have stayed a great unknown. Like his father carving wood, he'd have made good. Tables, chairs, and oaken chests would have suited Jesus best. He'd have caused nobody harm, no one alarm. Listen, Jesus, do you care for your race? Don't you see we must keep in our place? We are occupied. Have you forgotten how put down we are? I am frightened by the crowd, for we are getting much too loud. And they'll crush us if we go too far. If we go too far. Send Jesus to the warning I give. Please remember that I want us to live. But it's sad to see our chances weakening with every year. Your followers are blind. Too much heaven on their minds. It was beautiful, but now it's sour. Yes, it's all.
Exactly what the ego says. Do you notice how Judas thought he had Jesus's goodwill in mind? All I want us to do is live, you know, right? That's what the ego will do. It will pretend like I'm the one that has your back. Just listen to me. And the interesting thing is the ego is much louder than clarity. In fact, in that particular scene, you know, Judas was up on top of a mountain screaming at the top of his lungs. We didn't even hear Jesus. We saw that he was talking, but we didn't even hear what he was saying. He was a whisper. And that's my experience. That's exactly what happens inside. The ego is like up on top of a mountain screaming, my God, what's wrong with you? I've just got your best interest. You're being so stupid. Why are you listening to all of that spiritual crap? Come on. It was okay. It was a game. Just like Judas said in there, right? In the beginning, it was fine, right? It was okay. It was a game. It was something fun to play. But now this is getting serious. You need to stop. And I know I look very theatrical, but this is what it feels like on the inside, right? And this is when you have to make a decision. You have to decide what you really want and what you're going to listen to. And in my experience, it's not easy, but you can do it. You just have to want truth more than anything. You know, there are just so many stories. I mean, I told you a few last week, but there are just so many stories. Like, you know, when I received the guidance to leave my job and move to North Carolina, I trusted that guidance, and I put my house on the market, and it sold in one day. My daughter was in a school that was rated like, it was the number one school in the second best school district in the country. So, you know, pretty good school. And she had to win a lottery to get in it. And I gave up her slot for next year. You know, I sold my house. I gave up my daughter's slot in school. I gave my notice at my job. I was fully committed. I was all in. And I went to North Carolina. I flew in on a Thursday, and we were going to fly out on a Sunday to get a house. And a few things happened. One, the realtor that I had been talking to and that I had an arrangement with, somehow she got the weekend mixed up. And she was having her big garage sale that weekend and wasn't as available to me as I expected her to be. So we only had a little bit of time to look at houses where I had thought we would really be focused. And then the houses that were in my price range, they needed work. And, you know, I was going to go to North Carolina and not work. You know, that was the guidance. And so I didn't want a house with a big mortgage. I wanted to pay cash for a house. And my house in Boston had gone up in price enough since the time I purchased it that I was able to sell that house, take the equity from that house, and in North Carolina, which is much cheaper, pay cash for a house, at least that's what I thought, and not have a mortgage. So we would just have our daily living expenses, you know, electricity, food, that kind of thing, clothing. But all of the houses in my price range needed a lot of work. They needed new roofs or something like that. And I was taking everything I had to buy the house, which means if I bought a house that needed a lot of work, I wouldn't have the money for the work, right? So it just felt like nothing was working for me. I couldn't get anything that would work for me. And here I'd sold my house, quit my job, gave up my daughter's slot in school. And it got to be about 4 or 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and we're flying out at 10 on Sunday morning, and I didn't have anything. And I hadn't found anything. And that's when the fear kicked in. And I remember laying on a bed in the guest room in my brother's basement, which happened to be very dark anyway, so it added to the darkness probably. And I remember, you know, the ego just telling me how, you know, again, I won't use the words, but how effing stupid I was. You know, because I'd had a good job. I had a good thing going. I had a good job. I liked my job. My daughter was in the best school system, you know, second best school system, the best school. You know, we had everything we wanted, everything I'd ever dreamed of, I'd attained. And now I was just throwing it away for all of this spiritual crap. I mean, how stupid can you be? Because some voice in your head tells you to quit your job. You quit your, are you an idiot? And this just got louder and louder and louder. And the feeling of fear in me was so intense, I can't begin to describe it. I can almost feel the shaking now just remembering it. You know, it was just, whew, it was intense, intense fear. And at first, I was believing it, hook, line, and sinker. I was laying there in a bed in the fetal position, just listening to this and not recognizing it yet for what it was. And then one sentence came through. It was a sentence that I'd read in a book. So, you know, Holy Spirit or inner wisdom can show up in any way. This was a sentence I'd read in a book. It was from Peace Pilgrim. And the sentence that showed up in my head was, the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. And as soon as I heard that sentence, I knew that I was in an ego attack. But I was so deep in by this point. I was so deep in. I mean, when you're that deep in, you don't just, oh, okay, oh, never mind. You know, I'm covered. I'm down in this deep, deep hole of fear. And so what I did was I said a prayer and I said, please, please, please let me open the course to whatever I need to read right now. And I opened A Course in Miracles to this section that told me that anything you value in the world can and will hurt you. And I knew I valued the comfort of having a nice house to live in, of feeling financially secure. And right now, you know, I just sold my house. I couldn't find a house. In this moment, I didn't really have a house to live in, figuratively speaking, because I hadn't actually moved out yet. I just quit my job, and it was a really good job. I wasn't feeling financially secure. And these two things were hurting me. They were hurting. And I didn't know what to do about it, but I knew that the ego was attacking that weak spot in me that felt like it needed to be financially secure and have a roof over its head. So at this point, I feel like I crawled out of the basement. I probably walked out, but I crawled out of that dark hole in the basement and I took a blanket and went and laid outside in the grass in the sunshine. That felt like that might somehow help. I still have a lot of fear. In fact, when I walk through the living room, my brother and sister-in-law and my nieces and nephew are sitting there. They kind of looked at me, and I think one of them even said, "What's wrong with you?" I just walked on through, went out there and laid down on the grass. And I'm laying there just attempting to recover, but still feeling a lot of fear, kind of feeling like I'm trying to crawl out of the hole, right? And this friend shows up. Now, this is a guy I hadn't seen in 25 years. He was a friend in high school. He was a friend of both mine and my brother's. He was in the area doing one of those triathlons, I think. And my brother had let him know I was there. I was staying at my brother's while I was looking for a house. And so he came by to see me, you know, and I didn't even know he was coming. I hadn't seen this guy in 25 years since high school. He walks up to me and he sees me laying there on this blanket and he says, "What's wrong?" Can you imagine that's the first thing somebody says to you after 25 years? And so I told him, you know, what was going on. I told him how I'd sold my house and, you know, came here to find a house and I couldn't find one. And I mean, I don't remember exactly what words I said, but I was letting him know how afraid I was. And he said to me, "Gina," because that's what they called me in high school, "Gina, everything's all right. You just don't know it yet." And I knew again, there was Holy Spirit talking to me. This is the third time now Holy Spirit had talked to me. First was that comment from Peace Pilgrim, you know, the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. Second was, you know, that opening of the course right to what I wanted to read. And the third thing was this friend showing up and saying, "Everything's all right. You just don't know it yet." And then, you know, shortly after that, my brother came out and, oh, he had to go pick up my nephew. My nephew was at baseball practice and he said, "Why don't you ride with me?" You know, and I said, okay, you know, so I got in the car with him. We went and picked up my nephew and, you know, and I probably Casey was the friend. He probably told my brother what was going on or something. Because Roger said, "Let's just go drive around and see if we can find a house." Like, you know, now it's like what, 6:30 on Saturday night. I'm leaving the next morning. And I'm like, "Raj, you know what? I've let it go. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I've let it go." And he goes, "No, come on, let's just drive. Let me just turn up this road." And he turns up this road called Random Drive, by the way. And there's this house. I mean, even now I feel the tingles. Like, it's a modest house. You know, it's a brick house, which is very common in North Carolina. You know, it looked like it was in fine shape. The roof looked good. It was clean around it. I mean, everything looked fine. And it had this for sale sign on it. And so we called the realtor on the sign. And the phone rang and rang and rang. And the answering machine picked up. And I thought, okay, well, you know, here it is now 7 o'clock. I'm leaving in the morning. Nothing's going to happen here. But I went ahead and left a message anyway, saying I was interested in the house. And while I'm leaving the message, the realtor picks it up. She says, "I'm sorry, I just walked in the house. I had groceries in my arm, you know." And so I went ahead and told her. And she said, "Well, let me call them and see if we can get you in right now." By 7:30, I was in that house. By 8:15, I was at the realtor's office making an offer. Of course, that's where we ended up living. That's where NTI was written. That's where the teachings of Inner Romano was written. That's where I lived when I went through the purification with Laurent, 335 Random Drive, New London, North Carolina. But the point of telling you this story, there's a couple of points. One thing I told you last week is perfection is not necessary. And if you really listen to that story, you can tell I didn't go through that perfectly. I mean, you know, whatever the mind would say perfectly. Perfectly would be not believing the ego at all, right? That's what the mind would say. And I went down deep. But I had the wisdom to recognize wisdom when it showed up. And I had the wisdom to pick wisdom when it showed up. I mean, a little bitty sentence. The ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. The ego is screaming at me and screaming at me for hours. One sentence gets through from wisdom, and I was wise enough to listen to that. You see? And then I said the prayer, "Let me open the course to the right place." And I was wise enough to hook my boat onto the wisdom sentence rather than hooking my boat onto the ego. And even when my friend said, "Everything's okay, you just don't know it yet," I was wise enough to know that's spirit speaking to me through my high school friend here. You know? So in other words, I was doing my best. And what else can be asked? And what happens as you're going through the purification process, now I'm sure I redigested some fear there because I didn't do it perfectly, because I did lay there and listen to the ego and believe it hook, line, and sinker for hours. You know, this wasn't done. You know, and there were other opportunities for fear to come back up. But what happened is each time I went through one of these, and I call them ego attacks because they're exaggerated fear, right? Or if it's guilt, it's exaggerated guilt, or it's exaggerated unworthiness. I mean, it's just so big. You know, it feels like the world is ending, at least for you. But as I went through this with the intention to purify, each time I went through it, I got better at purifying. Right? I got better at not listening to the ego. In fact, let me tell another story. This was a few years later, and so by now I am better at not listening to the ego when it starts acting up. I mentioned to y'all last time that I had a stalker. I told you a story about when I first met him and that something felt off, but he hadn't yet turned into a stalker. Well, he did turn into a stalker, and a really crazy one. And at the height of the stalking, I wish I was exaggerating, but I don't think I am. I was probably receiving 15 emails a day and 8 to 10 phone calls a day from him. And you know, they were just crazy, crazy, crazy. And I was ignoring them by this point. First, let me tell you another mistake I made. In the beginning, after I met him there in wherever I was, Pennsylvania, at that house, he called me and told me right off in the first phone call that he wanted to get married. He had this vision of me and him being traveling gurus, going all over the world, and lots of people listening to us. And he had this whole thing in his head. And this time I was with Ron. This is before Laurent. And I told him, you know, I had a boyfriend and you know, wasn't interested in all this. And then he'd sent me a few emails, and again, I very politely told him I wasn't interested, but I received some guidance that I ignored. I want to tell you about that too. When I got that first email from him after the first phone call and the first email came, the guidance I received was not to respond. And the spiritual ego popped in and said, well, you'd respond to any other brother. You can't treat this brother differently. And I made the mistake of listening to the spiritual ego. So I responded in the negative. I mean, I wasn't in my mind encouraging him because I was letting him know I'm not interested in all that. And the first few times he wrote, I kind of did the same thing. And what I didn't understand was just attention from me, even if that attention was a no, I was feeding that illness in him. And so as I tried to politely say no, the situation got worse and worse and worse. And finally, it was so bad. Like I said, it was up to the point where there were like 50 emails a day and 8 to 10 phone calls a day. And you can imagine, you know, that if there's that many emails coming in and that many phone calls coming in, this is getting my attention, right? Even if I'm not responding. And these thoughts start coming in, you know, he only lived a day's drive from me. If he wanted to jump in the car and drive down and kill me, he could do it. You know, and he had said some really weird things in some of his emails. Like there was one where he told me, you know, he never said he wanted to hurt me, but he was saying things like he wanted me to hurt him. And I didn't know if that would get twisted and turned around to hurting me. You know, he was telling me the violent things he wanted me to do to him, the things he deserved, you know, kind of sick stuff. So I was getting scared. So what happened? We were doing a retreat called Be the Love. And he bought a registration to the retreat. And he made a post on the Peace of God. This is before Facebook. We were all in Yahoo groups. He made a post on the Peace of God, letting people know that he was going to Be the Love. And he said in that post, let's see if I can remember the exact words. He said, just because you follow spirit doesn't mean you won't be destroyed, maybe. I don't remember that last word, which is funny. Some days you guys may run across it in an older audio of mine that was closer to the time where I remember the exact words. But it was something like that. I think I'm off on the last word. Just because you follow spirit doesn't mean you won't be, I'll say destroyed for now, but I think that's the wrong word. But this sent everybody into a panic. And my mind, immediately when I read that Jasmine was going to this retreat with me, I could just see me sitting there teaching him, walking through the door with a gun and blowing the crap out of me with my daughter, who was about 10 at the time, sitting there watching. And you talk about fear spiking. And again, this appears to be a very real situation. And it doesn't appear to be the kind of situation you should take lightly, does it? And my friend who was co-hosting the retreat with me wrote to me immediately and said, you know, we need to get a restraining order, you know, so that he can't come to the retreat. I mean, I wasn't the only one seeing this. You know, there were lots of people started canceling their registrations to the retreats. They didn't want to be there. But by this point, I was more adept. I mean, regardless of what was going on the outside, regardless of there appeared to be a man threatening to kill me and all this stuff going on the outside, at this point, I knew ego in me was ego and that ego needed to not be listened to. Much different than that first story I told you about. I recognized ego just because it acts like ego. Right? It's, again, telling me it has my best interests at heart. It's telling me what I need to do, call the police or whatever it was saying at the time. Cancel the retreat, you know. get the heck out of Dodge, right? You know. But I recognize ego as ego. And in spite of the situation, what I have learned is never listen to ego. So in spite of this situation, I went into rest, accept, and trust. I rested the mind from the story. I accepted the emotions and just let them run through my body. I trusted this is healing. I sat there while all this was going on around me, on my love seat with my eyes closed, just allowing this, just wanting this energy to clear through, wanting healing more than anything else. And at some point, I mean, I don't remember how many hours it took. It took hours. At some point, enough of this energy had moved through that I received guidance. Now, the funny thing is the guidance was one sentence. It said, ask him what he means by that. Now, this is the same guidance that had told me not to respond to him, you know, right? And I didn't listen. And now it's telling me to ask him what he means by that. And the guidance at that point did not make any sense at all, but I had learned, just like I had learned through my own experience not to listen to ego, I had learned to listen to inner wisdom. Whether it makes sense to me or not, that's irrelevant. If I recognize, and you get to where you just recognize ego and inner wisdom. The reason you don't listen to ego is because it's ego. The reason you do listen to inner wisdom is because it's inner wisdom. Nothing else matters. If I had been listening to what made sense to me, cancel a retreat and get a restraining order made a lot more sense than asking what he means by that, because I thought I knew what he meant by that, right? So it's not what makes sense to me, it's who's talking. Who's talking? And you get to know the difference. You can just feel that ego acts like ego every time. Go listen to that song, Heaven on Their Minds, with Judas singing. Go listen to that 20 times and you'll know ego, because that's what he's demonstrating there. Spirit never acts like that. So I went on the Peace of God and I made a post. And I said, his name was David. I said, David, what do you mean by that? You know, reply to his post. And he responded. And again, I think I have that last word wrong, but we'll use it anyway. He said, well, something like, and of course, I don't remember his words exactly, but the gist of it was, well, you know, I'm feeling guided to go to this retreat. Because I know you're a fake. And I knew his story. His idea that I was a fake was because if I had been real, I would have married him. And, you know, the fact that I was not responding to his emails and all that, in his mind, I was a fake, right? He goes, I know you're a fake. And so, you know, my guidance is to go to this retreat and walk in and let you look at me with that disgust that you have for me. He said, that's going to destroy me. But everybody else then will see you're a fake. I'm supposed to expose you. And that's my job. I'm supposed to go expose you. Now listen to the words again, even though I think I have the word destroy again. Listen to what he originally wrote in the email was, just because you follow spirit doesn't mean you won't be destroyed. He was talking about himself. Oh, assassinated. That was the word he used. He used the word assassinated. And he was talking about character assassination. Just because you follow spirit doesn't mean you won't be assassinated. We all thought he was talking about me. He was going to assassinate me. He was talking about, he imagined that he'd walk in and there'd be some like disgust that, you know, because I just was disgusted by him. There'd be some disgust on my face and that would assassinate him, his character. But he was willing to do it because at least everybody else would see it and finally know I was a fake. Now, when I heard that, my fear just completely dissolved. I mean, it just disappeared. There was, in fact, all I felt was compassion for him. It changed everything by following that guidance. See how smart guidance is? Ask him what he means by that. Now the guidance makes perfect sense in retrospect, right? So then I went back and I told him what was happening, how everybody had misinterpreted his message. Here's what they thought it meant. You know, people were wanting to cancel the retreat, call the police. He then in the miracle that is now occurring, because this miracle is now occurring, he then felt terrible. He offered to not go to the retreat and let us give his payment to someone who could not afford to come. That's how that situation turned out. You can't make these stories up. So the key is to learn the difference between ego and inner wisdom. To ignore ego, and by ignore ego, I don't mean repress it. I mean, just don't do what it's saying. In this case, don't call the cops and get a restraining order and cancel the retreat. Which everybody else, it wasn't just my inner ego saying that, the outer people were saying that too, right? It's what appeared to make sense. But it was ego. And you don't listen to ego because it's ego. You get to know the difference between the two, and you don't listen to ego because it's ego. You know, even on smaller things, you know, like when Laurent lived with me, I mean, you know, I've mentioned this before. I like a fairly clean house. You know, my house is not perfect anymore. I actually used to be anal about it, and I've let that go. So, but it's still, if you walk in my house, you're not going to walk in my house on most days and say, what a slob, you know. You may find some dishes not done because sometimes I'm, you know, meditating, eat breakfast, throw the dish in, work out, eat lunch, throw a dish in, teach, you know, and at the end of the day, I do dishes. You know, you may find some things like that, but you're going to find my house fairly neat just because that's natural for me. That's what I like. Well, Laurent moved in with me and the exact opposite is natural for him. The exact opposite. I mean, if it had been up to him, the house would be piled with stuff everywhere, food everywhere, drawers open and not closed. I mean, mud all over the shower, just a mess left to him. And so when he moved in with me and at that time, I also started taking care of baby Grace, which meant my hands were kind of occupied taking care of a baby anyway, on top of everything else I already did. And the house just got out of control. And this was very, very upsetting to me. And even in that kind of a situation, which is not a fearful situation, it's a grievance. I hated him. It was a hatred situation. It was a grievance. Even in that kind of situation, the ego still acts like the ego. You know, it's like, look at this. You can't pretend like this is just your thoughts. The house is a mess, right? This isn't just your thoughts. I mean, that's the way the ego, you know, what are you doing letting go of thoughts? You need to get rid of him. You know, you know, that's how the ego, it acts that way at every, it acts like itself, you know, that's how it acts. And again, if you aren't wise enough just to the fact that this is the ego and I choose not to listen to ego, that makes perfect sense. This isn't just my thoughts. The house is a mess. This is him, you know? But it wasn't. I'll tell you what Spirit said. Some of you guys know the long version of this story. When I went to Spirit and asked for help, Spirit taught me the code. That's what Spirit, this is when the code came. Spirit taught me that these thoughts about Laurent regarding the house and everything else, there were other things too. These were just hate thoughts. And that if I continue to believe hate thoughts, I'm going to continue to experience hate. And that also means, by the way, because what the code teaches you is that it isn't just internal thinking is how you experience it. The outer situation also gets written to help you experience it. It's actually helping you to experience hate in this case because you're choosing hate in your mind. Or it could be helping you to experience unworthiness or helping you to experience guilt or helping you to experience fear. And so what the code taught me was what I really needed to do was be decided that I don't want hate and therefore quit listening to the hate thoughts. And this is also when some really ridiculous guidance came about. The guidance had to be exaggerated to catch my attention, because I was a stupid Course in Miracles student. Just about everybody is at some point. One of the first things we do with the course is become more stupid. Like one of these thoughts, I am not a body, therefore I shouldn't take care of the body. Have you guys ever believed that crap? That's the stupid Course in Miracles student. It happens to all of us, though. But I was still in that phase. I am not a body, so I should not take care of the body. And this guidance came to join the gym. Well, I didn't trust it. Like, Holy Spirit wouldn't tell me to join a gym. The guidance came again. I ignored it, you know. And then what happened that was really ridiculous was my neighbor from across the street showed up at my door in her bathing suit. She's an older woman. She's in her bathing suit, soaking wet, knocks on the door and says, you know what, Regina, you should really join the Y. I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. I'll go join the Y, which happened to be the best gym in that little town. I went and joined the Y and started getting on the treadmill, and I would jog. And while I was jogging, and those endorphins then kick up in your head, right? Then those hate thoughts would start coming in. And I actually found it easier while jogging on the treadmill to look at those thoughts and say, that is just a hate thought. I don't want hate. I'm letting this go. And I would jog, and another thought about Laurent would come in. I'd say, that is just a hate thought. I don't want hate. I'm letting that go. And I would go to the gym every day, jog on the treadmill, and I found it easier to let go of the thoughts. And it didn't take long. I mean, you know, it feels like it was just a few weeks until I had let go of so many hate thoughts that very, very few were even showing up anymore. And when they did, they were extremely weak. But again, the reason I'm telling this story is to show the difference between ego and Holy Spirit, because that's what you have to understand. The ego was saying to me, this isn't just your thoughts. My God, he's a slob. Look around. This is real. This is real. Who's going to tell you this is real? The world is real. Who's going to tell you that? Yeah, every time. This is real. You have no money. This is real. Your kid is failing school. You know, you got to do something. This is real. You got to do something. That's the ego. This is real. Your reputation's being ruined. You got to do something. This is real. This guy's going to kill you. You got to do something. I mean, go look at Judas again. Go listen to that song again. That's what he's saying. That's what ego says. And again, if you listen to it, you probably will get a bit of respite. You know, like you listen to ego, it's going to give you a break. The fear is going to go down. You ran out and you did whatever it said. But it's going to come around again. You're not becoming free. You become free by not listening to ego and by resting, accepting, and trusting through those emotions, by letting go of the thoughts that have the content of those emotions, by doing everything that we teach here at Awakening Together. By following the guidance of spirit, that's how you become free. So let's read the Tao. We got 4 minutes left, and this is supposed to be the Tao Te Ching. So I'm reading the last part of verse 15. I happened to grab the Stephen Mitchell version. Do you have the patience to wait till your mud settles and the water is clear? Understand what that sentence means now? Do you have the patience to wait till your mud settles and the water is clear? Can you remain unmoving till the right action arises by itself? Right? And the right action in the story of the assassination story was ask him what he means by that. That was the right action that arose by itself. So I had to remain still, not call the police, not cancel the retreat, because I could tell that was ego. I had to wait until a right action arose by itself and then follow that. I had to join the gym in the story of the hatred, right? That was the right action, join the gym. Can you remain and what does that have to do with cleaning the house, by the way? If you look at the problem and the solution, do you see how they appear to be unrelated? Again, Holy Spirit's guidance doesn't always make sense. You're not following it because it makes sense. You're following it because you can feel the quality difference. It's not the ego. Can you remain unmoving till the right action arises by itself? And then there's still one more verse. We'll see if we get through it quickly or whether we have to have a part five. The master doesn't seek fulfillment. Not seeking, not expecting, she is present and can welcome all things. Derek Lynn says, one who holds this Tao does not wish to be overfilled because one is not overfilled, therefore one can preserve and not create anew. And then Wayne Dyer says, he who keeps the Tao does not want to be full. But precisely because he is never full, he can remain like a hidden sprout and does not rush to early ripening. So what I'm really hearing in this is the master wishes to be empty. Empty of everything. You know, empty of the types of false beliefs we've been talking about. And by the way, I have more stories. You know, it's just we're out of time. Just want you to know, I have more stories. There was a lot of stuff that happened in that 5 years. And that's why I'm free of these things. But the master wants to be empty. If you want to be, for example, I said two reasons people don't go through purification is they want to feel safe or feel comfortable. Would you believe wanting to feel safe and wanting to feel comfortable is not empty? If you want to be empty, you'll let go of everything. That needs to be your desire, to be empty, to be nothing. So then you are moved fully by the Holy Spirit or by inner wisdom or by the Tao, whatever you call it, or God, you know, without any obstacle whatsoever. Yeah, Jacqueline says, ego's plan for salvation versus God's plan for salvation. That's perfect. And with that, I'll let go of the mic. And I think next week we will be able to move on to 16. Bye.